Welcome to Craft Your Confidence, the podcast for dreamers and doers on a mission to connect the dots from creativity, intuition, and passion to craft a life by design. I'm Karagat Warner, certified life coach, and I've been on this wild ride called an online business for the last handful of years. It isn't always easy, and I made a bunch of mistakes, but I've learned that the only way to create confidence is to trust and love up on yourself and connect with your own beautiful advisor, your inner wisdom. And I want you to know, I work on this every day. And in this podcast, I'll show you how to do this too and discover that you're just one thought away from stepping into your greatness and unapologetically unfurling your peacock feathers. Okay, let's get started. Something magical happens when I get behind the microphone, you guys. Seriously, I'm so excited. Today is a very special day because I am chatting with a friend. I'm chatting with a friend, and I am used to doing solo episodes these days. So it's been a while since I got on with someone else. And we are talking about a topic that is perfect. It's perfect for the timing because it's something that I struggle with myself, and it is called perfectionism. And so my friend Heather Beardsley is coming on the show, and she's a fellow coach, and she also helps women, but she coaches women on weight loss. And so we're going to be talking about perfectionism and how that ties into not just weight loss, but my gosh, like everything we do in our business and our life with the people, you know, that we're close to, you know, and just our desire to make things perfect, which is crazy when you think about it, because we live in an imperfect world, right? And the thing that I'm going to talk about has to do with this thing that I'm doing right here, this very thing, this podcasting thing, where I really struggle with perfectionism and wanting everything to be right. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And I'm so excited because I'm actually recording this sitting here while I'm waiting for her to join me in like, 5 minutes. And we're doing this with the video on, and I'm going to be sharing some snippets or some clips from our conversation. So I'm excited about doing that. And I am just, you know, I'm willing to be perfectly imperfect because it's actually so much more, like there's so much more freedom in allowing the imperfection to just be what it is, because there are so many beautiful things that can come out of it. Just like Brené Brown says in the book that she wrote called The Gifts of Imperfection. If you haven't read it, you must check it out. It's such a cool book. So I'm excited to get started with this episode. And so my friend Heather is going to be joining me any minute now. And we're going to get this party started. Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we can do this.
I know, it's been a long time coming.
I know, exactly.
And I was like wanting to overthink it a little bit.
I know.
So I just got on the phone with my best friend and just distracted myself for like an hour and a half. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really glad that I'm not the only one that does that, because I was doing the same thing. Like, okay, we could talk about this. We could take this angle. We could do this. We could do it. And, you know, like the topic of perfectionism is perfect, because that's exactly what we're trying to do, is make it perfect. And like, you know, just overthinking. Let's see how, you know, what's the right way to do it, so we don't do it the wrong way.
Right? Yeah. Do you know all your coaching terminology to bring to this interview with Kara, Heather?
I know. It's so funny. So funny. Because I thought, you know, this is just perfect to be like out of the gate. Like, this is a conversation. So we can just go straight from where we are right now. All if right, we
well,
want
I'm gonna
to
let you lead the conversation. Yeah. I'm happy to do that.
Yeah. Because I mean, if we're like kind of going in line with this idea of being perfectly imperfect, which I love that
Yes.
phrase. Like whenever I say that, like I've done that on my interview, my Instagram stories, and sometimes before a live video, like I just have, you know, little stickies that say trust. I have this one that says trust imperfection today. But
Yeah.
when I say, okay, we're going to be perfectly imperfect, like it's just all the barriers, like all the veneer. I can't think of the word, but it's like, okay, I can just relax.
Yeah, well, it's all the resistance, right? Because somehow we got the idea that hold on, I'm just going to pin you here. We got the idea that everything is supposed to be right and shiny and perfectly done, and if we show up that way, then the world will be okay. And it's just such a fallacy because half the experience is challenging, and hopefully the other half is good. But if we reject all the negative, then we're rejecting part of ourselves because we know that we're not perfect. Of course, we're not perfect. Every day we witness ourselves being imperfect.
I know it's amazing, right? But we fight it. We fight it. We don't want it like that. I don't. And I was just struggling with that today before we got on. I was just like, you know, and this is part of the story because we were talking about, you know, we were tossing around some ideas. And then you suggested to talk about, you know, perfectionism because so many people deal with it.
Well,
And
yeah,
I realized
especially.
that that's what I'm dealing with, just getting on this interview, as crazy as it. No, really, because I do a lot of solo episodes, so I can control myself, but it's like being in that arena with another person. The last time I did that, I'll admit I was a little nervous because I was talking to one of my heroes. And so it's like this weird thing. It's like, well, wait, I can't really control what they're going to say. So it might not be
Especially not me,
perfect.
Kara.
I know. But before we get ahead of ourselves, I want to properly introduce you,
Okay.
if that's okay.
Yes,
Okay. So,
please.
all right, you guys. So, welcome to another episode. And today I am joined by my friend and fellow coach, Heather Beardsley, who helps women thrive in midlife. So, we are going to get this party started. We're going to talk about perfectionism, right? So, Heather, before we dive in, you wanted to share a little bit like more about yourself and, you know, why you decided to hang with me today on the podcast and all that good stuff.
Okay. What can I tell you about me? Well,
Everything.
professionally, my focus is helping women over 40 lose weight for life. And I love this topic of today's call because so much that's left out of weight loss conversation has to do with these noble thoughts of perfectionism and really being unaware of how much it derails us from everything we want in life, but especially weight loss for those of us it's an issue for. What else can I tell you about me? I'm a certified health coach. I'm just like you, a weight loss and certified weight loss and life coach. I'm a mom to two teenage boys. I am divorced and actually engaged to be married.
It's amazing.
So I've gone through a lot of changes the past couple of years, not unlike many people because of the extraordinary times we're living in. But I come to 2021, really thinking honestly that it could be one of the best years of my life, but a lot of uncertainty also there. So I'm really looking forward to our call.
Yeah, no, this is really cool because when it comes to perfectionism, you know, it's like I hear a lot of people talk about that as sort of the badge of honor. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I'm such a perfectionist. And I think it really is this, it's fear, really. I like to say it's fear wrapped in a pretty little box, maybe a big box. And it's just kind of keeping that wall up or that shield, you know, keeping us from doing something that can lead us to greatness, right?
Yeah, I think when it's happening, it is really sneaky and always in disguise of what I'm reading this book by John Acuff called Finish.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and he calls the voice of perfectionism a lot of times it has noble thoughts like, oh, well, you know, let's not half-ass it. Or if I can't do this right, I'm not going to do it at all. And it sounds like really pretty, lovely thoughts. Like, I just want to put out really good work. I want to do it the right way. But all it does is just keep us stuck and keeps us from giving what we're supposed to be giving to our lives or to the world.
Yeah. Well, and also, if we're not willing to just step out from behind the bushes, I had a teacher say that once. I love saying that. That's, you know, it just reminds me, like, just to get out, you know, when you're behind the bushes, you can't, you know, you just can't experience things fully. And the only way to really, like, understand, see, I'm already, like, experiencing this perfectionism right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I'm having an anxiety attack.
Just take a deep breath.
Oh, is that weird? Like, I love talking with you every, you know, every week we get together. And I was thinking about the last time I interviewed, you know, someone for the podcast. I was so nervous and I was stumbling and I wanted things to be perfect. And, you know, I didn't want to say the wrong thing. I wanted to say the right thing and ask the right questions, not the wrong questions. You know what I mean? And so it's really interesting how this morning, like, my head was spinning a little bit about this. And I thought, you know, I can just talk about that. That's going to be the story that I'm talking about, because I realized that that's where I struggle. It's easy for me to, you know, do these episodes, do solo episodes. But when it comes to, like, leading the conversation in an interview, that's where I struggle, because it's like, I can't hold the reins like I can when I'm like, okay, I can control what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do. Does that make sense? I mean,
Yeah. But even sometimes when you're in control 100% with what you say, we still, like, stick our foot in our mouth. Right. But I think it's so generous when you own, like, your imperfection, even if it's just in a thought that's like, oh, what if I mess this up or whatever? Like, I used to have this thing when I was younger, and I would just tell, like, a funny self-deprecating story about myself. And I knew, like, first of all, it just, like, made everybody breathe a little bit easier. I could feel how, like, I was just saying to these people, like, I'm definitely not perfect. And then, like, the people who that resonated with I would find ease with, and we would have something to talk about, and it would just made it easier. I just think, when we talk about imperfection, it just helps everybody else take a deep breath and then have a real conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because then you're just not trying as hard, you know, because there's no reason to, you know, you really don't have to try that hard.
It's like this primal thing, right? Like, we're socialized for billions of years to belong in a group, and we want to belong. And we don't want to say or do the wrong thing. And that's just, like, owning your human neediness. Like, we need people to survive. We need friendships. We need to be heard. And we do all that imperfectly.
Yeah. So we chat with each other every morning, like, on text, which is really kind of fun. And so, you know, you had mentioned this idea to talk about imperfection, because we were tossing around ideas like failure. And of course, failure and imperfection go hand in hand, right? Wouldn't you agree? So I just wanted to read, if it's okay, a couple of things that you said, because you said, I'm currently obsessed with ideas of perfectionism holding us back from our dreams. Perfectionism tells us to quit or don't bother trying after the first fail. I've never done it before, so I can't do it now. That's, like, a common thing, right? Like, and then you said, my challenge is about confronting perfectionism.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that? Like, what do you mean by that in your own life? Like, how does that work for you?
Well, I was referring to my 5-day challenge, which I'm running in early January, where it's like a, it's a weight loss challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to sign up, but then when they learn it's about no sugar, no flour, no alcohol, they're like, they kind of freak out. Mm-hmm. And so I give them a lot of credit for just signing up. And they think that the challenge is about being perfect with their food, like not having the drink, mm-hmm. not having the sugar, not having the cookie. But really what it is just challenging yourself to do the challenge imperfectly, mm-hmm. and not making it about 100% compliance with my guidelines. It's about them figuring out what works for them and making that perfect, imperfectly yeah. perfect.
Well, I love that. Sorry that I'm looking down at my phone, because just last night I was, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry. That was Brené Brown's, The Call to Courage. Nice. Did you see that?
No.
Oh my gosh. You didn't see that?
No.
You have Netflix though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, so this, I did see it. Yes.
Okay. So I saw this the first time when it first came out. I remember being a hot mess when I saw this, and then I was not as much of a hot mess after. And it's so interesting because she talks about her own hot mess moment where she discovered that quote that we all know about, right?
This
daring greatly.
Yeah.
Right. The Theodore Roosevelt quote, mm-hmm. about being in the arena, mm-hmm. with the blood and the dust, whatever the way it goes. And by the way, the name of this Netflix special is called The Call to Courage. But if you just type in Brené Brown, you'll find it. And she said, though, it was like this moment. It was like, oh my gosh, it was like the clouds parted when she found this. She was just Googling. It's a funny story. You'll have to watch it, because the moment, it's like we all do it. She's like Googling to soothe herself about something that, mm-hmm. you know, she needed to just, you know, just kind of mindlessly going through Google. And then she finds this quote, and it's about that, this being imperfect and being willing to fail, because, you know, getting in the arena and, you know, daring greatly, right? So it's the same thing, kind of what you're saying, Heather. It's like with this challenge, you know, just showing up, just trying, just being in that arena, you know, signing up for your challenge.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's about doing it perfectly. It's about having the guts to show up and seeing what happens. And all of that is information that you get to use. You get to create what it means. I mean, we can go into a challenge and maybe mess up on Wednesday and make it mean that we're shit at losing weight. We can't do it.
Yeah.
Or we can say, you know what? I didn't do it yesterday, and let me figure out why. What's going on in my mind? What am I thinking about that? Like, we all always have a choice to, you know, show up for ourselves. And I think these arenas, whether it be a challenge or like what you teach with your listeners about time and organization and business and all of that, mm-hmm. it's all an arena in which to figure out how to show up imperfectly for mm-hmm. yourself. And creating your own rules.
Creating your own rules, exactly. Writing your own script and your own blueprint. And one of the things that I definitely am talking a lot about these days is self-confidence. And it's like you start a lot of the times with no confidence. And just by showing up and doing a little tiny thing and being like the engine that could.
Right.
And you're like, oh my gosh, I got a little confidence. Put that in my back pocket. And then little by little, you create more and more and more.
Yeah. I always thought there were these people who knew that, like they knew that self-confidence is self-created, but they kind of don't tell anyone. They just kind of are like, no, I've always been this way. And I always thought that is such a great trick. Mm-hmm. But I think for people like myself, you're like, look at somebody like that who isn't saying, oh, well, I failed 100 times, or I did this 100, like they might have a successful business, but they don't tell you about the 10 that failed first.
Exactly.
And we don't necessarily need to do that, but we just need to hold space for like all the work that went into every success for everybody, and not just have them be an example of perfection and then know what we really are, which is imperfect. It's like that, all that black or white thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And I think that a lot of the times when it comes to confidence, kind of going on this thought pattern, we think, okay, they're born with it and I'm not, right? They have it and I don't. And like you were just saying, we don't hear about all the failures and the, you know, the businesses that they tried, or the, you know, all the crickets that they experienced. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, people can get stuck in this thinking where they just don't try because they don't have the confidence. They weren't given the confidence. So it's not something that they can learn. When it is something, we know that it is something that people can learn and develop just by doing the things that are scary and doing those things that are uncomfortable, and then building, you know, building that confidence little by little, you know?
Yeah. It's what evolves you to the next phase of your life as mm-hmm. we age and move through our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is why I think so many older people strike us as being supremely confident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it took a while for them to get right there.
Like, how many times did they mess up and learn from their mistakes? And that's yeah. like the best news too about getting older.
Mm.
It's like, you do yeah. have all that under your belt and you can draw yeah. on it.
Yeah.
In so many different situations.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm sitting here, and like I said, I've been feeling a little anxious like since this morning. And I feel like I'm still like feeling a little anxious because I decided that I would really embrace this idea of imperfection, okay. trying to not be careful. I remember when we first started our regular conversations, we started our friendship, mm-hmm. and you said something to me that really stuck out. You said, you don't, you know, you try to be careful all the time, right? And I had some bullets. I had some talking bullets. That's why I'm a little bit like, I am right now allowing myself to be vulnerable because I don't have any talking bullets in front of me right now.
You don't? I don't either.
No. It scares the shit out of me. And I never say shit in this podcast, but I just did.
I think I already said it first.
And I only have a couple of sticky notes. And okay. I think I showed this before, and I don't know if it was before we officially started, but the first one is trust imperfection. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because just like Brené Brown says, there are so many, like, I know I just thought another, I didn't think I was going to talk so much about her, but I did, whatever. But there are gifts. They are gifts. And then this is a favorite, cultivate not knowing. Do you ever hear this, Heather? It's Rumi. You've
yeah,
heard of Rumi.
I know Rumi, so, but I haven't supposedly, heard that one.
And this is one that I've been carrying in my pocket forever, not forever, but for a long time. Cultivate not knowing. I love that. Because it's like when you just the word cultivate, because in my opinion, it's like saying I'm present right now and I'm allowing whatever comes, no matter how messy and yep. uncomfortable it is, to be here. And I'm going to just reside right here.
Such a great belief to take on. Like my clients mm-hmm. who do really well with weight loss, they all tell me some version of that, cultivate not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And they say mm-hmm. things to me like, I have no idea how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, this is the perfect time for me to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know exactly what I can and cannot eat to lose weight, but I know I'm going to figure it out. So that's like,
yeah.
So many of us think we have to have the roadmap of exactly how to get where we want to go.
Mm.
But it's actually just believing, cultivating that not knowing and yeah. being okay with that. That gives us the space to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other analogy that I love, there's two versions of this. You know, the popular Martin Luther King quote, the staircase, you know, this staircase analogy, right? Have you heard that one?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay. So I love this. So it's, you take the first step in faith. Uh-huh. You may not need to see the whole staircase. You just take the first step.
Yeah.
And then the next step reveals itself and you know, then the next step, and you only get the next step because that's mm-hmm. all you need.
Yeah.
Another version of this is Wayne Dyer. I liked this analogy that he came up with, was about, there was headlights. I mean, there's all kinds of similar analogies, metaphors, whatever you want to call them, but headlights, at like when you're driving at night and you can only see however many feet in front of you, but you trust the road and you trust your lights, right? You trust because you have to, you know, and you can only see so far ahead anyway. So you might as well just trust what's in front of you.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. If we knew everything that went into, let's say, marriage ahead of time, how many of us would sign up?
Oh my gosh.
So it's probably a blessing, right? That we only get to see like what's in our present moment, like just the day unfolding ahead of us, and giving it permission to be imperfect and just accepting all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have a story that you could share about your own, you know, way of embracing imperfection, or how you work on perfect, because perfectionism, we're all human beings, right? So we're all working with it. We're working, you know, trying to work, I'm not gonna say against it, but like, because that's our crazy brain. Keeping us back, holding us back, keeping us in fear-based mode, right? Scarcity mode. So how do you work with that? Can you give me a little example?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I have a really cute story to tell you, except that, I mean, one's not coming to me, unfortunately.
It's okay.
But I would say that
I'm putting you on the spot, I guess.
Definitely was the annoying middle sister who would come to the dining room table with my report card, and my sister would be rolling her eyes and my brother would be like slumping in his chair, and I would show my report card like, look at me, straight A's. And I just really believed that like I would be worth all of my potential if I just got the straight A's. And you know how that goes. Like the next day, you just have to get up and do more work. And I ended up repeating that scenario so many times in my life, where if I just, you know, had the right clothes, or if I just weighed the right amount, you know, I would be happier. And I just spent so much of my life exhausting myself to the point where actually that's what made me gain weight. Was chronic stress, chronic fatigue, things that just my body was actually telling me that I had to let go of this idea of perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my journey, is working on, this is why it's no surprise, perfectionism is a big theme for me. And I think for so many women who battle with their weight, even if it's just gaining and losing the last 5 pounds, or if it's 100 pounds, like we just don't give ourselves the gift of reaching the goal weight and seeing that actually it's just like the straight A's. It's just a mark to hit, where we show up for ourselves fully. And after that, we just get to work on life and we're still the same person.
Yeah, it's really interesting what you're saying about the straight A's, because it's like, you know, here's a system to do it. And if you do this system, then you're going to get the A's and then you're going to be happy. Right. And you're not, like, it's crazy. And this is when I discovered this for myself, it was mind blowing, because it's like, really, we don't want the thing. We don't want the feeling. And I literally like just embraced that. I'm not kidding, Heather. Like, even though we're coaches and we're life coaches, we've been trained in feelings and thoughts and all that stuff. Right. But I really viscerally have recently allowed that to come to me. Like, oh, it's not, you know, the number on the scale that I want. It's how I think I'm going to feel. And so I can feel that way right now.
Yeah.
And you coached me on this.
I did.
Heather is an amazing coach, you guys. She's amazing at weight loss. But she helped me realize that I was in these crazy caves about where I thought I should, you know, I should have, I had this black and white thinking about it.
Yeah. Right?
And I realized, and this is what I mean by just viscerally like connecting with this feeling, because it's like, that's the number on the scale. No wonder I was struggling. And why is this goal not like important now? Because it became like a little flimsy.
Right.
It was like, I wanted
to. It always comes down to asking yourself, like, what am I making my perfectionism in this area mean? Mm-hmm. And like, for me with the grades and the straight A's, it was like, can I just have the love that I want from my parents? Mm-hmm. And it was never enough because I wasn't loving myself. Right.
Yeah.
It's like this gaping hole, like, cause I was rejecting I was making my self-worth tied up in the straight A's. And it's like the weight loss person who thinks like they're going to be just flying unicorn when they reach their goal weight. And nobody wants to hear that. But the truth is that you're not the unicorn when you get your goal weight, you just have a different relationship to gravity. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't take it on if it's something that you want, but you learn who you are in the process.
And you know, what is so cool? I can't remember where I heard this, but this blew my mind because, you know, we have this idea. Okay. I want to reach that number. I want to reach that number and I'm going to be happy. And when I get there and like, until you reach that number, like you're where you are now. And you're like, I'm like, I need to get there and be happy or whatever the feeling is. But it's not like, you know, okay, I'm 5 pounds away. Okay. I'm 3 pounds away. Okay. I'm 1 pound away. I'm there. And now I'm instantly happy. Like, I don't know if I kind of butchered it, but you get the idea. It's like, no, it's not like, oh, all of a sudden I made that number happen on the scale. And now finally I'm happy. Like, oh, it's just no way does that ever happen. Because the other part of it is, it's not static. We're not static beings. Right. We like fluctuate between 3 to 5 pounds, right? In general, like we go up and down and it's like, yeah, whatever, you know, but there is still, even though intellectually I believe that, but I want to be static. Like I have, that's one of my obstacles. That's one of my struggles personally, yes. Because I come from, you know, I was an obese, you know, adolescent, and this idea of if I could just fix that and be perfect at this, whatever weight, right?
Right.
And I just didn't connect to the, you know, connect the dots. Like, okay, there's no such thing as static. Like if I'm always a dynamic, organic, changing organism. Well,
we want the Disney version of our life dramas. Like the Disney version of your life is that you hit your goal weight and then you never think about your weight again. And, you know, everything is just, you know, rainbows and daisies. And it's like, of course it isn't. Like people who have always maintained their weight perfectly still think about what they eat. They still think about their food choices. They still think about all that stuff. They're just like, you have to think about it either way.
Yeah.
Right. So it's work either way. It just from the surface, looking at someone who's never had a weight problem, it's easy to think that they just never think about it. And that's why I so appreciate your transparency and coaches who really do talk about their own coaching on these things, these internal struggles that we have that inform, you know, the results that we get and our struggle to get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? I just want to say it's not like all woo woo and like made up stuff. When you think, okay, when you struggle, weight loss is a perfect example for this. I know in the past when I am stuck and I'm struggling and I'm needy and I'm like, I want that number. I want it. The scale doesn't budge. Because of course, it's not just, you know, your thoughts. Obviously, we think a thing and then we feel needy, struggle, anxious, and then we act out according to that feeling, right? And so then we just, that result is the scale doesn't budge, right? So it's like, we will like fight against that. And before I understood this, you know, being like, before I was a life coach, right? And understanding how thoughts influence like all the things we do, right? Mm-hmm. I was like thinking, well, what is like some, I could see there was a connection. Like every time I was stressed out, every time I was like, but I'm doing all the things that are right, but the scale still wouldn't budge. And I intuitively knew there was a, there was something there between the thoughts. There was something there that I couldn't put my finger on until I realized, right. Oh, wait a minute. There is a scientific method like in the brain. Like this is why. So I just find that to be so fascinating because like if you, you're the way you are, this, the weight that you're at, whatever that is, and you, mm-hmm. you can cultivate a thought that serves you, that's mm-hmm. creating calm, confidence. So just let's say calm, like wherever you are, that's going to give you a beautiful result. You know, maybe not like a lot of, you know, loss on the scale, but it doesn't matter because it's like, yeah, you might go into that thinking, oh, you know, I'm here, I'm showing up, I'm in the arena, right?
Yep.
And that just feels good.
Just yeah, that. Well, exactly. But, you know, nobody taught, like we were just taught to do all the things, like the yeah. do the things or don't do the things that will get you where you want to go. And this mind work, this quality of the thoughts that we bring to this process has such a huge influence over our results. It's not just about the actions.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone who runs a marathon has practiced running a marathon, but the winners who run the marathon are the ones who are doing the amazing thought work that mm-hmm. allow them to run faster. Sure, yeah. there's fast twitch muscles and certain people are just naturally mm-hmm. faster. I get all that, but it's so easy to just gloss over all that mental work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And you know what, this, as we're talking, like this is going to be the fifth episode of the podcast, of the new podcast. So I've been sharing like the last, I guess it was 3-4 episodes, all this thought work, like what thought work is all about. So we can, you know, we can talk in that language.
Okay.
That's kind of what I'm saying. So yeah. don't be afraid to like say that, because I think that up to this point, I think the audience really understands what that's all about, which is really, really, yeah. So we've been cultivating that. That's my word of the day, cultivate.
Yeah. I always say like, what do you have to lose by trying out a belief that supports the results that you're looking for? Mm. Like what yeah. if that actually is the key to getting you the result you want? What if that's the prerequisite? And then you also have to do all the things, eat in the way that's right for you. And if you're trying to lose weight or, you know, mm-hmm. fail 100 times to get yourself confidence and know that you're going to get there. Like that belief is a prerequisite. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of a scenario in which that's a detriment to just try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I find that in the beginning, I know this for myself, it's like, I didn't believe it. I'm trying to believe it. I'm trying. And then all of a sudden I'm like, of course I believe it. Like, mm-hmm. 'cause I keep practicing it. Like it's like any thought, whether it's a thought that serves us, you know, a scarcity thought or an abundance thought, you know, it's like whatever you keep believing and think, or whatever you keep thinking, that's what you're going to believe because you're going to keep creating the evidence for it in your life.
Right. I mean, and if there's people listening right now who are like, I don't know, yeah. this just sounds so hokey. I used to be in that place. And then I started like the Academy Awards or the Olympics. Like I would look for like amazing success. I always feel so moved by it. Like people who realize their life dreams, like I always get so emotional. It affects me so much. I love seeing it. And the one thing I found that was almost universal when people would tell a story about how they got there was just two words, which is, I decided. So that tells me, like, I decided whatever to go to the Olympics, or I was going to make $1 million or whatever it was. That shows me that they decided to hold a belief that it was possible for them.
Yeah.
And like, we hear that all the time. I decided, it doesn't sound hokey at all, but that's actually what they're saying. Is they decided in their result ahead of time without really knowing how, and also being willing to do it imperfectly.
Yeah. It's almost like a switch is turned on at that point.
Yeah. Like all the universe starts to conspire to help you make it happen.
Yeah.
I think it, like, even my weight loss clients do this. The ones, when I look back at how they were talking right before they start really losing weight, they're like, they say things like, I know this is the perfect time.
Yeah.
Or I've been waiting my whole life for this time. Now, is that a true statement? Like, that is just so subjective, but they just make the choice to say it and believe it.
Yeah.
And so it's the same with, like, if you want to talk about astrology, right?
Like, I know I was going down a rabbit hole there, but it's like, I'm so, you know, I'm so into it right now. My Aryan Aquarian kind of life right now. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and why not use whatever you have in front of you as a reason to believe that good things are going to happen? Or that at least it's going to be really exciting.
And I think that's what I've been practicing. It's like, as soon as a limiting thought comes in, well, maybe this, maybe that. And I will just kind of stop myself. And I've been getting really good at this. And I'm just saying, you don't know how it's going to go. So why don't you just decide to believe this right now? Like, let's go with this, you know? And I think it also comes from just, you know, beating myself over the head with, like, the what if this, and I don't know, what about that? Maybe I can do this, and trying to find the right way, and you know, and just feeling like struggling and going against the grain instead of just doing that, saying, I'm going to stop that. And I'm just going to decide that what I'm doing is the right track. And let's run a little experiment and let's see what happens. And that is serving me. And I know it can serve, you know, it's just like that right now is working in my life.
Yeah. Well, when you've decided, like, we're trained as life coaches and we're sort of taught this crazy idea that there's no emotion that you can feel that's too much. Like, it might be difficult for 10 minutes, like even the worst grief comes and goes in a wave and it doesn't last. And it's just an uncomfortable feeling in the body. So what's the downside of believing like good things are going to happen? Okay. Well, the shoe might fall. What is that saying? Waiting for the others.
I think I'm really bad with things like that, but I think it is waiting for the other shoe to drop or fall.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Something like that. I don't know where that comes from, but
I don't either. But yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like the scared brain wants to tell you all of these things like, oh, if you just think a good thing, something bad will happen. It's like, did we really just think that? Like, let's just take that thought out and look at it. Like, what good is it serving? The worst that can happen for me this year is that I tell people what my business goals are, right? To make a certain amount of money, to run my business a different way, and I don't reach the goal.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that can happen is that I make it mean something bad about myself, which I'm going to call myself out on. So I'm already okay. And it's hard either way. So I may as well try.
Yeah, definitely. So can you tell me a little bit about your challenge? Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about that. Cause we could talk all day about imperfection, perfection.
Yes.
Like it's just, it's here. It's in the room right now. I feel it.
Yeah.
But let's talk about your challenge. It's coming up, right? Like next, when this air, this is going to be Yeah. So this will be coming out like in real time. So the first week of January, right, is when your challenge starts. So tell me about it.
Well, it's a 5-day challenge, and the challenge is designed to get you into fat burning mode so that you can open the door to start seeing some weight loss. And so it's designed for weight loss. And what we do is we don't consume flour, sugar, or alcohol, which interrupt weight loss, especially for women over 40, because they have an insulin effect. So when insulin rises, insulin is your digestive hormone that increases in response to especially concentrated foods like sugar, flour, and alcohol. And when you are raising your insulin, you're blocking your fat loss. So we want to do things that keep insulin nice and low and allow us to use up all of our stored blood sugar. And by Wednesday or Thursday of the challenge, you're going to transition into a fat burning state. And you don't really need, it's only 5 days because you don't need that long to transition into fat burning. But what I find with so many of my clients and the value of the challenge is to really, first of all, just show up for yourself and do the best you can. Even if you just say, you know, I'm just not going to drink alcohol or I'm just going to try to get rid of sugar. You get like a yoga class, you get to walk in as your essential self and take things as far as you want. There's no right or wrong way or dogmatic way to do this, but show up and challenge yourself is the thing, and show up every day, even if you show up imperfectly. And what you learn by Saturday morning is how your body responds to concentrated foods. You understand why you were doing it imperfectly. You do the thought work. And then you also experience life, hopefully, without these concentrated foods. So that you have a clean slate, and then you can make really good decisions about how you best lose weight and how you best feel.
Yeah. And wouldn't you say, though, you know, when you give up flour and sugar, it's a little bit easier too, like, you know, as far as physically easier, right? Because if you keep that in your diet, it's going to be hard to go into fat burning, but you're also going to create, you're going to crave more. The 5 days are going to be a struggle if you keep that in your diet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really necessary for most people. 70% of people over the age of 40 have developed some sort of insulin resistance. And that is just an inability to handle a carbohydrate load that's much over 75 grams per day, maybe 100 grams. So this is why when we're younger, we can kind of eat junk and just like moderate a little bit and still eat junk and lose weight because we haven't developed insulin resistance. So all insulin resistance is an overflow of fuel. So if you're eating a lot of carbohydrates, which your body is having a hard time handling, you have too much fuel in the system and your body starts turning it into fat. And this is how over age 40, you have to start experimenting with your body now as it is. And we play with these concentrated foods and your intake of them to figure out where you're at on the insulin resistance scale. So some people can still lose weight and have bread and they want bread and they can figure that out for themselves. Some of my clients are so insulin resistant, they can't have any bread, any sugar, any alcohol. That's me.
Right. Yeah. And we're all different. So it's just like what you said before, it's like you get in there and you just see, you know, give some of these things a try. Think of it like a little experiment, because if you come from it from that perspective of, let me see, what is it like without flour and sugar and alcohol or whatever you decide to do. And then you can be like the investigator, be like, oh, that's what happened. This is how I felt. This is what happened. You know, and so then you're like, you become this watcher, right? And you can become curious as opposed to, I'm grumpy. Like that's like when I get like, I was like that earlier today because I'm like fasting after like eating.
Are you? How long are you fasting?
I'm on my 24 hours today.
Okay.
And later this week, I'm going to do a 40. I did a 40-hour fast. I'm sorry. I'm not going to like freak people out. Probably going to freak people out by saying that. But the last time I did it, it was great. It was like, oh my gosh, this is magical.
Yeah.
It really was. But yesterday, I just decided not to have, you know, the last couple of days, no flour, no sugar, because I knew, and I don't normally do it, but I did during Christmas. I'm like, give me another Reese's, you know, whatever that was, the mystery tree, you know, the Reese's mystery tree. And I was eating like chocolate. I never do that. I'm like, I don't care. But then, you know, yesterday and the day before, I decided to, I said, I just can't, you know, that's done, or I'm going to be like crying. Right. So anyway, still like yesterday and the day before, nothing yesterday, I guess, was no carbs, no simple carbs. And my stomach was so loud earlier. I was like struggling.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. And this is what the challenge really shows you, that when you're having flour, sugar, alcohol, it deranges your digestive hormones. So you never feel full and you're always hungry. That's what concentrated foods do. They mess you up and they make weight loss so much more difficult, especially over the age of 40, because you just have that overflow problem.
And you know what else? It's like, I was kind of depressed and I was blue and I'm like, I don't ever feel that way. And I knew it was because I had all this sugar that I don't normally have. I'm like, I just decided, I was like on a chocolate binge. I mean, for me, it was chocolate binge. Yeah. And so that can be, you know, a side effect too. It's like, you know, this blue, depressed, you know, and really like the hunger pangs today were crazy. But the good news, and this is something that maybe you can speak to, is like, it gets easier.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh. Cause you then, you create this like homeostasis, and it's like a very scientific word I'm using, but like, you know, this whole kind of, it's like an equilibrium, like it's very even keel. And once you get past that beginning, it's not like it's always going to be like that. So it's like that's kind of what's keeping me motivated today. And also whatever I need to do to stay inspired, but I know it's not going to be this difficult. Like always, it's like getting over the little hump.
And what a beautiful skill this is for you. Like, to be able to indulge and have some chocolate and have some sugar, but know that you also have the ability to fast and to get right back into that fat burning state just gives you tools in your tool belt that you can use. I mean, you don't have to fast, of course, like it's an option.
I love it.
It's a tool.
Yeah.
Some of us need it to lose weight. A lot of men will lose plenty of weight just eating once a day if weight loss is their goal. But for a lot of women who are a little insulin resistant, they have to go a little more than 24 hours. And that's what I teach in my course, is like, I teach you how to build your fasting muscle, how to feel hunger, how to know that hunger is, it's physiological, but it's also a feeling that we feel based on our thoughts, and how to manage those. Yeah. And that then everything becomes doable. Like you're not at the effect of food. You're kind of like creating your own emotional experience with your food.
Yeah. So, you know, like when we text each other in the morning and we text each other about our businesses, but then sometimes we throw in a, like, just like a life thing, like, you know, I love life or whatever. I love life. Yay, life. No, but I was going to, today, I was going to send, my daily thought was, I love fasting just as much as I love feasting.
Yes.
That was going to be, cause you just said that, like, you know,
it's so crazy, isn't
it? I really do.
Most people, when I tell them that like it's possible to fast more than 24 hours, even if they wanted, they just can't even believe it. And then I have the same client 6 weeks later who is telling me that they love the feeling of fasting, that it's almost like euphoria. It's like a new version of pleasure.
Yeah.
Just like they used to only feel as though they could get from food.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, this is not, of course, this is framed for people who have a healthy relationship with food, who aren't in any kind of dysfunction with their food or their eating, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to give that little caveat.
Yeah. And I know that your challenge is not about fasting, and I know we went down the fasting route, but, and that's why, you know, I'm glad we talked about it, because that's why I'm willing to, like, I'm going to get past this little bump. That's all it is, because I know how good it feels to do it. And I know the benefits, like, and this is like an advanced thing. And it's kind of exciting, because if people really, you know, they take your challenge and they embrace this and they get excited about it, the future is bright, because you can show them how to fast,
right,
for longevity, to repair their cells, you know, if they're interested in all that stuff, because it's exciting, to detox, to remove, you know, candida overgrowth, whatever, you know, like, there's so many different things that people can do to, like, increase their wellness, to develop their wellness.
And it also can just be as simple as, like, you can have a fasting practice that is just about not snacking between your meals.
Yeah.
Or just keeping your mealtime within a 1 hour window and seeing how that affects your well-being. I mean, I have clients who just drop weight because they stop snacking between meals, and that is an intermittent fasting practice.
Yeah. And another thing that I think I may have mentioned this to you, just eating dinner earlier and having just a light dinner, just that, and going to bed empty. I always say this to myself. I write it down in my journal. Did you go to bed empty? Mm-hmm. Oh no. It's like this. Did you go to bed proud and empty?
Yeah.
Because I'm proud if I'm empty, but, like, that's just my own little thing. Cause we all have to find our own little mantras that get us excited. Right. But it's like, if I go to bed, not hungry, but you're like, yeah, I'm empty. Like, you know, it's like, yeah. And that's just that habit.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, I've seen results for myself. Like, I have normalized my weight from whatever how I feel, like, over time. Like, if you're not in a hurry, cause I know a lot of times people are in a hurry, and that's another thing that we didn't really touch on, but, like, it's just like enjoying the journey. Like I guess we did kind of talk about it, cause it's like, it's no better there than it is here. Right. And so, just cultivating one little habit, like you said, not snacking between meals, or going to bed empty, like, really just having a light dinner and just going to bed like that, feeling empty and clean.
Yeah. Well, I love that, because I encourage my clients to really call themselves out on their own BS. Like, when they say to me, I'm doing all the things right, but I'm not losing weight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And I ask them some questions, and it turns out they're snacking between meals. And I'm like, okay, this is your arena. Like, just try not snacking between meals. Like, just use that this week and see what happens when you make a promise to yourself. You make a plan ahead of time, no snacking between meals, and see what happens. And if there is a challenge there, that's your golden thread that you need to pull out, excavate. What's underneath that? Why are you eating when you're not hungry? Your life, your body, your experience is here to teach you something about what you're thinking, what you're believing about the world, and what you need as a human being, as a messy, needy human being, which sounds like a bad description, but that's what
it's so true. It's so true. Cause I was just saying, this is like, here we are, here I am. I have no notes in front of me. Normally I want everything to be so perfect for an interview. I am in, like, I have been anxious during this interview. I am just letting you know, maybe you can feel it, but it's like, yeah, it's like, I am messy. I'm allowing myself to be that messy, imperfect person, because that's, you know, that's just one of the realities in our lives. And it's like, just allowing it to be what it is, whatever, like, just going to breathe a little bit, you know?
Well, it's like the kid in art class who isn't afraid to make shitty art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just likes his painting. He just paints the painting. It doesn't have to be the best one in the class, but I guarantee you he's done with the art assignment early and is like moved on to other things.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I had someone once say to me, that they didn't start things so they didn't have to fail.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. right? So just staying behind the bushes, staying like in that place of like non-doing, so they didn't have to fail.
Or that could be also the flip side, which is never finishing.
Never finishing, yeah.
Because it's never perfect enough. I had hired a friend of mine to plant some ornamental flowers in front of my house. It was like not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it was like a 2-day job turned into a week, and then I couldn't reach him and he wasn't calling me back. And I finally said, David, what's the issue? Just tell me really what's going on. He's like, I just want it to be perfect for you. So I don't want to finish. And I thought, oh my God, how sweet. Like, what if we just gave ourselves that kind of compassion? Like, hey, I know that you want to do this, right?
Yeah.
And I love you for that. Like, of course we want to do it right. It all comes from such a great place. You know, we just want to do right by ourselves. We want to do right in the world. But unfortunately or fortunately, we're just going to be messy along the way. Mm-hmm. It's going to be imperfect. It's going to be challenging, but there's no way out of it.
There's no way
out of
it. I
like to think that that's why we came to Earth. Because like if we're all like perfect hovering above the earth with all the knowledge that we need, there is no messy.
No, like, there's no
messy is the reason why we're all here.
Yeah. Well, I always like to get a little more woo-woo on that. And I will. I was like woo-woo. You know, that word is.
Bring it, Kara. Tell me all the woo.
I believe that the whole goal in life is to become an enlightened being. And I think that our human life, our human bodies are like a boat to get there. Mm. And so of course it's imperfect because we have to first experience and go through the discomfort and through the imperfections and the attachments and all those things to know how to transcend them, to become that enlightened, realized being.
Yeah.
That's what I really believe.
Yeah. I mean, how many fights with your partner do you have to go through to realize that you're the only one responsible for hurting your own feelings?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And creating more negative karma for everybody, for them too. And yourself. Right. I mean, cause I do believe in karma. I mean, I know we're going off woo on this.
I know.
But it's like, really. I do, I believe that. And yeah. So
but if that's the case, right? If you're on the ship and we're here just to like have an experience, a human imperfect experience, and the body's our ship, I mean, that makes sense why like the body's your temple, right? That's mm-hmm. where we get to practice our self-worth.
Yeah.
And our reverence for like this experience, no matter how imperfect it is, no matter how like the 50-50 of like painful versus joyous. It's all part of the journey. And when we stop fighting against that, then even like the negative stuff has those golden threads to give us more awareness. More connection.
You're fine. So, it's the top of the hour.
Yes.
And I know that your time is valuable. And I mean, we could talk for hours. I love talking with you.
I have to share
you with others. So tell people how they can join your challenge and all the things they need to know to get going.
Okay. So, online I'm at H for Heather and my last name is Beardsley. So it's like a beard, like a man's beard, and then SLEY HBeardsley.com. And you'll see the banner right there at the top to join the free challenge. Or you could just opt in to take my free weight loss course. If you're not really into challenges, just sign up for my email and then you'll get all the notices. I run the challenge 4 times a year and I offer it to my email clients only as just a free thing that I do to keep us all like jumpstart weight loss or get us unstuck or just a reset, a nice reset. And I'm here to support my clients that way. They get a week of live coaching with me. They can interact with me. I try to make it fun. I know a 5-day challenge with no flour, sugar, or alcohol sounds like a real party.
Drag. Come on, Heather.
But it is fun. I do try to make it fun. But thanks for asking. That's where they can find me.
Awesome. So thank you for running this little experiment on, you know, being a little imperfect today and getting a little vulnerable. Yeah. So thank you for joining me. This has been fun.
Thanks, Kara.